So welcome to the AP U.S. History Lectures for 1960 through 1973. We'll be starting with number one, the 1960 election. But before we do, talk about the end of the Eisenhower administration. As Eisenhower leaves office in 1961, we have the mess concerning the shoot-down of the U-2 flight, which has soured relations with Russia right before a potential summit. As Eisenhower leaves office in 1961, he becomes the second president to have a famous farewell address named for him, remembered for him. I'm sure others gave addresses, but there's Washington and there's Eisenhower. What did Eisenhower say in his farewell address that makes it memorable?
He will remember it.
What is meant by the phrase military-industrial complex?
Where the military and industry work together to control the country.
That sounds like defending our interests and promoting economic growth. So what's wrong with that?
I don't know.
What's wrong with democracy?
Yeah. So why would Eisenhower be warning us about anything? But what can military-industrial complex sometimes do?
Create runaway war for the sake of war.
Take away the rights of the people.
And that's what he was warning about, that when you get to the point where profits and power grow not to promote or protect democracy but to spread imperialism, we need to beware. Now, wasn't he a conservative Republican military man himself?
Yes.
Was he speaking bad about his own crowd? Mm-hmm. It's like when I warn you that the AP test is super liberal. We know what we're talking about. His warning should be well heeded. He saw that was the danger of the Cold War. In fact, in that same speech, he made comments about every dollar spent on military spending is food and medicine out of the mouths of hungry poor people. So he really wanted to see the Cold War de-escalate and see money be used for social programs, which is not the image of a conservative Republican president that people often have of Eisenhower. I meant to bring my 50s Halberstam book for you today.
What?
I meant to bring my 50s Halberstam book so I could show you that quote. I'll try and bring it tomorrow.
Isn't it kind of like Eisenhower wants to be FDR?
I think that his legacy wants to be one that were... He was really deeply concerned about how much the Cold War had escalated in the 60s, how much gross national product was going into military spending instead of social spending. Well, anyway, he leaves office, and the 1960 election will be somewhat, in many ways, somewhat like our current election coming up will be. Fresh faces, not the re-election of any sitting. It won't be exactly the same because this election this year will go all the way back to 52. And before that, 28. So what do I mean about the 2008 presidential election paralleling the 1952 election or the 1928 election?
Because you got wartime?
You don't have any sitting presidents or vice presidents running. In 60, Nixon had been the vice president, so that doesn't really fit. But where I'm going with this is that Nixon and Kennedy were very new generation younger. Eisenhower was of the World War I generation, as had been Truman and Roosevelt behind him. So now in 1960, although these people were of age in World War II, they're in their early 40s. Nixon's like about 45, 46 at best, maybe 44. And Kennedy is 43. So it's going to be a new generation that wins and takes office. JFK came from Massachusetts. He was of wealthy, well-to-do, well-educated Harvard graduate background, but he was also what?
Catholic.
He was Catholic, but the family was Catholic, but people said in his lifestyle and friends and connections, he was the most Protestant Catholic anyone ever knew. But still a Catholic.
What do they mean by that?
That he didn't have the views and values of traditional Irish Catholicism, that he was very well assimilated and had the connections with society that of philosophy. So he has to deal with that. And the last time a Catholic tried to run for office, what occurred? He lost. Who was he? Haven't we done this already?
Yeah. Wasn't a
Catholic.
Wasn't he
a product of the Tammany Hall city machine politics of New York? Called the Happy Warrior. Had a running mate from Arkansas named Joe T. Robinson.
Oh, God.
He's not Al Gore. He's not Joe Lieberman.
They voted for him, so
He's Al Smith.
Al Smith, okay.
And Smith lost. And Southerners who never vote for Republicans voted for Republicans.
It's like Mondale.
No one voted for Mondale. Did you vote for Mondale?
Speaking of JFK Catholics from Massachusetts.
Did you vote for Mondale?
Yeah, of course I voted for Mondale. Actually, I didn't. Actually, I didn't.
There you go. Normal.
My child did at age 3, illegally.
What did you vote for?
I took my son into the voting booth, looked him up, and he pulled the Mondale Ferraro button in complete violation of election laws. And here I'm on tape saying, take that, Osama. Listening in the cage, our election laws, you are.
Who's the bomb for I mean, St. Louis, no.
So what I'm getting at is,
somewhere I'm not going to be.
It was quite a concern on the Democratic Party. Can they keep the Southerners voting Catholic? And what did he have to do in order to keep Southerners voting Catholic? Anybody recall?
Go on TV and make a lot of
almost. He went to a Southern Baptist leaders' convention and let them ask question after question about his background. Are you going to follow the Pope or follow the Constitution? And as I have said for 7 times today, I will follow the Constitution, not the Pope, that kind of thing. And once he was able to satisfy the Baptist ministers in Houston that he would defend the Constitution first, then they made it possible for their voting constituents to vote for Kennedy.
He was supposed to boycott Disney World. And he was a war hero, too.
You never did answer my first question. What JFK from Massachusetts?
I said Kennedy.
Okay.
What was the question?
Another Catholic JFK from Massachusetts without Kennedy.
When did you ask that?
Long ago.
Pasta.
Nixon, the sitting vice president under Eisenhower. How had he made his big name in politics to go from House member to Senate to vice president?
Persecuted.
QX.
Red.
Yeah, accused his opponents of being red or communist, chasing Alger Hiss, being the cold warrior, being a fierce anti-communist. So there is no doubt that with the tensions of the Cold War in place, the 1960 election is going to be very much over Cold War issues.
Nixon's VP to Ike.
Mm-hmm. And Nixon's going to try to sell himself as the experienced office holder who's already been there, has proved his credentials, can stand up to the Russians. Nixon, in fact, this is on AP Test, in 1957, had engaged Khrushchev in Russia in the so-called famous kitchen debate. He had visited Russia, and they went to like a sample futuristic, not world fair, but something like that, a Russia's world fair to show how in the future, through communism, everybody will live so much better than the West because of redistribution of wealth. And they were in the so-called modern Russian kitchen. And
did it have food in
it? I just remember that Nixon engaged Khrushchev on points of who can produce better, socialist or capitalist, whose gross national product is rising faster, and he did a pretty good job of whipping him on the economics debate. So
was it wasn't it impromptu?
Impromptu in front of reporters, just for fun, that kind of fun. It was like he's touring around with Khrushchev, and he starts asking him questions, and Khrushchev tries to keep up with him, and Nixon outdid him.
In Russia.
Well, the translators are there. So the point being is that Nixon is packaging himself as the experienced, capable, fierce, courageous cold warrior who should be elected. So how does a Catholic, soft-on-communist Democrat respond to that?
Go on TV and make him sweat.
And even. What do I do?
Press stop.
Is that the end of this lecture? We'll be back. And see all the fun conversation while this is going?